Today's gospel is actually, it's in two parts. The first part, really, Jesus is kind of snippy. Really, he's not really happy with the generation, and he's telling them about it, really. And in doing this, in that first part, we're looking at the image of John the Baptist and Jesus. And then in the second part, he's looking at the image of God. So, I'll pull a Jeff Paul and draw you into the sermon, because he always asks you all questions when he's here. Who were they perceived? How were John the Baptist and Jesus perceived back then by those who were there walking with them, listening to them, being moved by them, or being offended by them? That's John the Baptist. Who did they see John as? Some did. Some actually did thought he was the Messiah, and some thought, did I hear prophet back there too? Crazy man. Yeah. I mean, really, he lived out in the wilderness, and there's a perception right there by itself. His clothing, I mean, there's reasons we get these descriptions in our scripture. They want us to know this. John's script, his clothing being made of camel hair. Okay, that's a very ascetic dress. That he's not comfortable in that, and it's intentional for him. What'd he eat? Locusts. Yeah, I like the wild honey part, but I'm not big on the locust part, really. And we even learn today that John was perceived as by some as having a demon. Okay. Now, John is known through our scriptures as saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." He's known for baptizing people for repentance. And he's also known for the words, "You brood of vipers," as he started talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he warned them to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Warning them they can't just assume that they're in because they're part of the ancestry of Abraham. John is perceived in the same way as they perceived the prophets of old. I mean, scriptures even say that John is the person that the prophet Isaiah had predicted. But prophets are some of the holiest and faithful people in the Bible. But they're also the ones that end up dead. Okay, what about Jesus? How was he perceived by them? You know, we're removed. Our perception is different. We have a lot more information and have had a lot of time to talk about it, and we're still trying to figure it out. But who was he perceived by? I mean, how was he perceived? Some as the Messiah, some did not. You're right. They wanted a military leader. They did. You know, but that's not the image, right? He hung out with the lowlife. He hung out with the sinners and the tax collectors, with the prostitutes and the lepers. And today we hear that he was perceived as a glutton and a drunkard. We see a much bigger picture of who we perceive Jesus to be, but that's who they saw him to be at that time. And what about God? How was God really perceived back then? Judgmental. He was a tyrant. He was a vengeful God. If there was an illness or something that actually happened that was bad, it was God's doing. You know, you were being punished for something, or a family member was, but you got wrapped into it. And then you had to go make burnt offerings for atonement. You make God mad, he punishes you. You got to make an offering to him for forgiveness. Kind of like paying your way into forgiveness. Well, Jesus today, in his response, why he's really irritated, is he just found out, we didn't hear this part, but it's right before this, he just found out that John the Baptist has been arrested. Okay? He's just not happy about it. He knows, he's seeing a big picture, and he knows what's going to happen. Here, if someone who really is perceived as a prophet of old, his head's going to end up on a platter. They just couldn't see. They couldn't see who Jesus was, like Nanette just said. He didn't fit the mold, did he? Messiah was supposed to be a warrior. It's not who he was. His mission, yes, was to come to save, but his mission was to save the people of God through restoring their image and understanding of who God was. Jesus said, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus was revealing who God really is. I mean, wisdom is vindicated by her deeds, and the deeds of Jesus reveals to us a God of love, forgiveness, and grace. Jesus does give us a new image. He says, this new image of God, really through taking on the yoke of Christ, he says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Yeah. So, we're learning that Jesus is the one that knows God, and Jesus is revealing God to other people. And this is a God that says, "Come." It's an invitation. Life is hard. Those of you who are weary, those of you who are carrying heavy burdens, come into this yoke of Christ and rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we get confused about that because we don't deal with yokes. Most of us. I don't know if anybody that has an oxen at home. Maybe you do. But, you know, that yoke, that big wooden piece that fit over the oxen's back, and then the plow and or whatever instrument, whatever they were doing, pulling, that's what they used, and it fit on the oxen's back. The thing about the yoke is that if it was not an easy yoke for that animal, it didn't fit. You can't just take a yoke that was created for one oxen and put it on another oxen, because if it's contoured to the back, they don't get sores. It's still hard work, and that's a thing. But you're not being tortured while you're doing the work. If you're being tortured by the pain of having a yoke that wasn't created for you, for the oxen, you can't walk a straight line. You can't do what you're setting out to do. It goes all wrong. So if we take on the yoke of Christ, if we take on this image of God that Jesus is trying to really change and save the world with, we have to know that an easy yoke, if we're going to take that on, then this is really, for me, it's the only time that it's truly a personal relationship versus a communal relationship with God. Because I know that Christ has made a yoke for me that fits me, and that the work that he's set me out to do is difficult, but it'll be okay because I'm not being punished for it. I'm doing the work side by side with Christ. It takes away the burden. Yeah, it's hard work, but that burden is light. So if Jesus was trying to teach us about this image of God, what do we do with it? They had these perceptions of who John was and who Jesus was. We have perceptions of who they are now all this time removed and the studying and the knowledge that we've gained since then. But is John going to call us brood of vipers? How do we, as being ones created in God's image, how are we perceived in the world as an image of God? I think when we go out and we're not actually being an image of God, our yoke's not easy. It's painful. We're not living into who we are or who God called us to be. We're called to go out, to be sent, to do our deeds of wisdom and love and mercy and grace. Amen.